Title: Building Reusable Cord Stab Kits Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson we're building something that will speed up your drum and bass workflow every single time you start a new tune. A reusable cord stab kit. Cord stabs are one of the core weapons in D&B and jungle. They're those short, punchy harmonic hits that push the groove forward, answer your bass line, and fill the gaps between drums without turning into a full-on pad. And the big goal today is this: instead of designing a new stab sound every project, you'll build a curated kit you can drop into any 172 to 175 BPM session and instantly start writing. By the end, you'll have two things. 1. A drum rack loaded with 8 to 16 stab variations, with consistent loudness, clean transients, and a bus chain that's tuned for D&B impact. 2. A small pack of go-to MIDI patterns you can reuse for offbeats, call and response, shuffle accents, and pre-drop tension. Let's set up the session so it already feels like D&B before we even make a sound. Set your tempo around 174. Create a few tracks: drums, bass, stabs as a MIDI track, and then a stabs audio resample track for printing. Even if you've got a template, it helps to explicitly separate I'm designing and printing from I'm arranging. On the stabs MIDI track, put a compressor on it and set up sidechain from your drum bus or your kick. Start with a ratio around 4 to 1. Attack between 1 and 5 milliseconds, release around 80 to 140 milliseconds. Then set the threshold so you're getting roughly 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. This is a teacher tip: sidechain isn't just a mix fix, it's a writing tool. If you hear the stab naturally tuck under the kick from the start, you'll pick better decay times and less messy voicings without even thinking about it. Now, instead of hunting for one perfect stab sound, we're going to build a palette of 4 core sources. Think of these like 4 colors you can print and then turn into a kit. Create 4 temporary MIDI instrument tracks. Source A is your classic rave stab, bright and slightly detuned. Use Waveutable. Put a saw wave on oscillator 1 and a saw on oscillator 2. Detune oscillator 2 by about 10 to 20 cents and keep unison moderate, like 2 to 4 voices. Filter it with a low pass 24 filter, cut off somewhere around 1.5 to 3k, and add just a touch of drive. For the amp envelope, attack at 0, decay around 250 to 450 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, and release around 60 to 120. Source B is a warmer, halcy stab, with a softer transient. Use analog, oscillator 1 saw, oscillator 2 square but lower in level, low pass filter a bit lower, roughly 800 Hz up to 2K depending on brightness. Then add chorus ensemble with a low rate, and around 20 to 35% amount. Source C is a dark metallic stab for techie rollers. Use operator with a simple 2-operator FM setup. Add a little FM so it bites, but don't go full sci-fi laser. Then add saturator, drive 3 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. Source D is your jungle organ or hooverish stab vibe. You can use Waveutable or analog again. Add auto filter in band pass mode with some resonance, and then add redux lightly. Just a bit of downsample so it gets that gritty sampled edge. Your goal is 4 distinct tones that resample well, not 4 perfect mix-ready masterpieces. You're making raw material that turns into a kit. Next, we choose chord shapes that actually work in D&B. This matters. If you pick big cinematic chords, they'll eat your mix. Stabs usually work best with simple voicings that have character and sit in the mid-range. Let's use F minor as a reference key because it's super common for darker D&B. Try these chord options: F minor, def, ab, C, F minor 7, def, dab, C, eb, ab major, ab, C, eb, eb major, eb, G, bb, and then a suspense shape like a sus2 or sus4, F, G, C, or F, bb, C. Here's the pro voicing tip: keep your chord cluster mostly between C3 and C5. That's the zone where it cuts through drums and feels musical, without bulleting your sub. If you go too low, you'll fight the bass. If you go too high, it can turn into glassy clicks. Now we print. This is where you stop thinking synth patch and start thinking kit. On each of your 4 source tracks, create a MIDI clip that's 8 bars long. Put 1 chord hit per bar so it's easy to record. You can vary velocity slightly, like 80 to 120, if you want a couple dynamic options baked in. But don't overdo it yet. Then add a temporary print chain on each source track. We want to shape and control the stab before it becomes a one-shot in the rack. Start with EQ8. High pass somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz to remove sub and bass conflict. If it's muddy, try a small dip at 250 to 400. If it needs snap, A small boost in the 2 to 5K range helps. Then saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 2 to 8 dB depending on how aggressive you want the kit. Then drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15. Crunch between 0 and 10. Usually keep boom off for stabs. Push the transients up. Maybe plus 5 up to plus 20 if you want more smack. Then utility for a quick stereo discipline move, with around 80 to 120%, and turn bass mono on around 120 to 180 HE. Coach note here, don't treat these as rules. Treat them as a consistent starting behavior. You're building a kit that reacts predictably when you write. Predictable is powerful. Now create an audio track named Resample. Set audio from to the source track you're recording, or use resampling if that fits your routing. Record each chord hit as audio. Once you've printed, go through the recordings and crop tightly. Add a tiny fade in, 1 to 3 milliseconds, to avoid clicks. Add a short fade out like 10 to 30 milliseconds if needed. After doing this across 4 sources and a few chord types, you should very quickly end up with 20 to 40 usable stabs. Now we build the reusable drum rack. Create a new MIDI track and drop in a drum rack. Drag your audio stabs onto pads. Here's an organizational trick that saves you later. Decide what one pad equals one job means before you fill the rack. A practical layout is, pads 1 to 4 are your main stabs. These should be the most mix-ready and least weird. Pads 5 to 8 are alternate stabs, brighter, darker, rougher variations. Pads 9 to 12 are FX stabs, filtered versions, reversed, reverb tail versions, noisy textures. Pads 13 to 16 are wildcards, pitchy, distorted, resampled chaos for fills and transitions. This layout stops you from auditioning 40 similar hits when you're trying to write a drop. On each pad, open Simpler and set it up like a proper one-shot. Use one-shot mode. Turn warp off unless you specifically want texture. Set trigger mode instead of gate so every hit plays consistently. Set start and end precisely. Add fade in between 1 and 5 milliseconds if it's clicky. Then set the amplitude envelope, decay somewhere around 150 to 450 milliseconds, with release around 40 to 120. And importantly, include multiple decay lengths in your kit. Don't make every stab the same length, because arrangement-wise you need short stabs for busy drum sections, and slightly longer ones for spacious moments. Now we handle velocity consistency, because intermediate workflow is all about speed. Add a velocity device before the drum rack. Set it to comp mode. Set out high around 100 to 120, and up low around 70 to 90. This way, when you're sketching fast, the stabs feel consistent and punchy, instead of randomly whispering or spiking based on how you played the MIDI. Extra coach move, don't normalize to a peak, normalize to behavior. Short stabs can have wildly different transient to body ratios, so peak normalization can make one hit feel huge and another feel tiny even if the peaks match. A better approach while printing is to put a limiter on the source print track, set the ceiling to minus 1 dB, then push input so the loudest spikes shave 1 to 3 dB. That pre-catches spikes and makes the kit feel playable later. Now let's build the stab bus chain so the whole rack sits like DNB. On the drum rack output, or using a return chain inside the rack, add a simple bus. Start with EQ8. High pass around 150 Hz, adjust as needed. If it's harsh, a small dip around 3 to 6K helps. Then glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release auto or 0.1 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is glue, not smashing. Then saturator, soft clip-on, drive 2 to 6 dB. Then utility, keep width controlled and mono the low end below about 150 Hz. Optional but extremely DNB. Add an auto filter low pass that you can sweep like a DJ, and put hybrid reverb on a return with a short plate or room. And now the big step that makes this whole thing reusable, macros. Map 8 macro so the kit behaves like an instrument, not like a folder of samples. Macro 1. Tone. Map it to the low pass filter cutoff. Macro 2. Decay. Map it to simpler decay on your keypads, so you can tighten or lengthen the kit without editing every pad. Macro 3. Dirt. Map to saturator drive. Macro 4. Punch. Map to drum bus transients. Macro 5. Width. Map to utility width. Macro 6. Verb send. Map to the send going to hybrid reverb. Macro 7. Movement. Map something subtle like phaser flanger amount or a slow modulation effect. Macro 8. Sidechain depth. Map this to your sidechain compressor threshold, so you can tuck harder in dense drops and ease off in intros. Here's the coach note that most people miss. Macro ranges matter more than macro assignments. Constrain them to sweet spots so the macros are always usable mid-session. For example, tone cutoff could be 400 HC up to 6K HC, so you never accidentally open into harshness. Width could be 90 to 125% so you don't drift into facey extremes. Dirt drive could be 0 to plus 8 dB so it stays musical. Now organize and save like a Reval kit. Rename pads with a clear system. For example, Rave Ab Mad Short, Dark FM 7 Mid, Clean Ab Mad Long. Color code rose by vibe. Bright, dark, rave, FX. Then click the disc icon on the drum rack and save the preset into your user library under something like Presets, Instruments, Drum Rack, Stab Kits. Also make a companion samples folder for the raw audio. Include key and maybe BPM in names if it helps you later. This seems boring, but this is what turns a fun session into a reusable workflow asset. Now let's actually use the kit in an arrangement, because stabs are only as good as the groove they create. First placement, offbeat anchors in the drop, the classic skank. Put stabs on the end of each beat, 1 and, 2 and, 3 and, 4 and. If you're thinking in Ableton grid terms, it's basically the offbeat eighth notes. This instantly gives you that rolling bounce. Second, call and response with bass. Let the bass play a phrase for a bar, then let the stabs answer in bar 2. Or alternate every half bar if you want more energy. This is a great trick for keeping the drop moving without adding new sounds. Third, jungle shuffle accents. Use shorter, more mid-rangey stabs to highlight the ghost note areas, but avoid stepping on snares. If your stabs and snare are fighting, shorten the stab decay and high pass a touch higher. Fourth, pre-drop tension. Automate the tone macro downward so it low passes over the last 1 to 2 bars. Increase reverb send. Then hard cut the reverb at the drop. That contrast is classic impact. A quick arrangement upgrade. Try the negative space drop trick. Let the drop hit, but remove stabs for the first 1 to 2 beats. Then bring them in. It makes the drums and bass feel bigger, and the stab entrance feels intentional, not constant. Let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid the classic time wasters. Mistake 1. Too much low end in the stab. This is the number one reason mixes collapse. This audio version is shortened for playback.